Facts on
Administration Committee meeting of Wednesday, January 18th. We have Alderman Teeling, Alderman Trulis, myself, and Alderman Frieders via telephone and staff. Citizens' comments?
No, there's so many.
Joel, this room is packed.
You're missing it.
So jealous.
We have minutes for correction or an approval from November 16th, 2016. Comments or corrections, anything on those?
No.
Okay, so let's accept those. Let's go on to new business, admin 2017-01, monthly budget report for November and December of 2016.
Budget report is in the packet. I didn't have anything I wanted to highlight. If anybody has any questions, I'll
comments
answer.
Or questions on that?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Okay, let's go on to two. Admin 2017-02, the monthly treasurer report for November and December 2016.
For the month ending November 30th, 2016, beginning fund balance is $17,243,885. Year-to-date revenues of $24,697,736. Year-to-date expenses of $23,873,683 for projected ending fund balance of $18,067,937. For the month ending December 31st, 2016, beginning fund balance of $17,243,885. Year-to-date revenues of $27,181,029. Year-to-date expenses of $30,089,653 for a projected ending fund balance of $14,335,261.
Comments or questions on this? Okay, we're good. Do we put that on consent agenda? I just blanked out. Have we been putting that on consent? Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody's okay with consent agenda?
Yep.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay, three. Admin 2017-3, cash statement for October and November of 2016.
Our cash statement for October and November, our cash position for each month is on the first page, and our investments, which consist of CDs, are on the second page. So any questions or comments?
Questions, comments? Okay. Then let's go on to Admin 2017-04, bills for payment. Comments or questions on the bill list?
No.
We're all good? All right. Moving right along, Admin 2017-05, monthly website report for November and December of 2016. Okay, Joel, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just had a quick question. What is the name of the service that provides the statistics on the website?
Pilot.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no problem,
you.
Joel. nothing really out of the ordinary, just kind of the last few months. Last year's number compared to this year's numbers are higher for the website, so that's pretty much what I've been noticing, so that is a good thing.
Three cheers.
Woo-hoo.
Comments or questions on it? Yes?
Nope.
Oh, I thought, did he say
I think somebody in the background.
Oh, okay. So we're good. Let's go to six. Admin 2017-06, NYMEC bid for electric accounts.
We've been using NYMEC, which stands for the Northern Illinois Municipal Electrical Co-op, for about 10 years now to go out and bid to find us the lowest possible cost for an electrical supplier. We've used them for streetlights, but in this particular case, this deals with water treatment plants and lift stations and wells that the city has. Typically, they go out to bid between February the 1st and March 31st, depending on market conditions. When they think that there's a dip in the market, they typically give us 3 to 5 days notice, and then when they go out to bid, the winning bidder will have approximately 24 hours to decide whether or not to accept. So there's a resolution attached would authorize the city administrator to approve the lowest bid at his discretion after the NYMEC bid cycle is complete.
We don't have this at all right now, right? Didn't we take the residents off of it?
Yeah, that was on the municipal aggregation.
This is just on the...
Right, we do have this right now, and the contract's up this, I think, May for these water treatment plants, lift stations, and wells. So we currently have it, yeah.
We're not saving money on it.
Couple municipal buildings, yeah. We are. So, because our market is a little bit different than residential market, so supply rates are different.
Okay.
So, yeah. So this is just for, like, a couple of the wells.
Yeah, because I was like, wait a minute, buildings. I thought we got rid of this.
Yeah.
This is just for us.
You are right, though, that ComEd's supply rate has been significantly cheaper than...
Yeah, because I got rid of mine, because I had some Viridian, and I got rid of them.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions?
No.
Okay, let's go to 7. Oh, do we have to put that on anything, or are you coming back with the results?
Yes, it does require city council approval.
Okay, so consent agenda okay on that?
Yep.
It's still cheaper, though, right?
Yep.
It's still cheaper?
Yeah.
Okay. So 7, admin 2017-07 employee manual amendments. A is a cell phone policy.
In your packet, you have a redline copy of the employee manual that outlines the cell phone policy for Yorkville employees. We updated it to allow a clear version of what happens currently, which is an employee can either choose a city-owned cell phone or get a stipend to use their personal cell phone. And then it also outlines a process if the cell phone is damaged in the line of work. Your personal cell phone will be... if it was damaged in the line of work, you'll be reimbursed up to $200 for that damage of the phone. If it's over that, it's on your own responsibility. If it's a city-owned cell phone, the city will cover that repair cost only if it's damaged while doing work. If it's on your own or when you were negligent, it's up to you to pay that amount.
How are you going to prove that, though?
That's a good question. We're leaving it up to the employee now to disclose how it happened, and if another employee is present, then we also use their account of what happened.
Why don't we, does everyone pretty much, I mean, they have those life cases.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just, like, have them get those? Well, this is even better.
Okay.
This is if it falls in water. It's
the
like
life proof.
The life case, the life proof.
I used to have one of those.
Yeah. And
so just for the record, I have broken a phone in a life case, so it's kind of a waste of money.
Oh, really? Okay, good to know.
I've done amazing things with my day.
But Joel, you're special.
This is true. Well, I know a few of the city employees, and I think they fall in the same category that I
Well, okay then. I don't know. All I know is that I've heard that they were really good. So I have an iPhone 4, so I don't worry about it so much.
It's the news media. It's fake. It's fake media. It's fake news.
The LifeProof case is fake?
Absolutely. If I was able to break a phone inside of a LifeProof case, yes. So, yeah, don't even worry about it. Just talk about it when it happens. If you need me to, I can give the look, cross my arms, and look down my nose. How is it going to prove it?
Okay.
The supervisor probably has a pretty good idea if somebody's pulling their chain or not, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, we did have a situation come up a couple months ago where somebody broke their personal phone on during work hours. And there were a couple witnesses. So, you know, in the email documenting it, we just put in there who witnessed it and everything. So, you know, if somebody comes out to us and they didn't have any documentation, you know, we'd probably take them at their word. But if we found out that that was not the case, obviously that'd be grounds for termination, in my opinion. So that's how we would deal with it. Not, my guess is this isn't going to come up very
often. I wouldn't think so. But just those, I don't know, Joel seems to know about LifeProof cases.
Well, and along with the red line changes, I've also included a new appendix to be included in the employee manual. So it's an agreement between the employee and the city outlining which option they choose. If they choose a city-owned cell phone or if they choose the reimbursement, then it's outlined and given to the finance department for permanent record. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Comments?
No, let's not make it overkill. It makes sense. Good work.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go on to B now, the Travel Expense Control Act.
For the cell phone policy, we'll take that to the, I think it's the February 14th City Council meeting.
Okay.
That one is not time sensitive, so gives us a week or so to do the resolution and everything else, make sure that it's all correct.
We can do consent agenda for that one. Everybody's okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. The Travel Expense Control Act amendment is time sensitive, so I'd recommend that it goes to Tuesday's City Council meeting. And so the changes that we've approved put us in line with what's required under state legislation that was just passed this past year. In general, that legislation was to prevent us from paying for entertainment expenses when somebody's out on a conference. It makes us have a policy on travel, lodging, and meal reimbursements, which we already had a clear one on lodging and meals. And then it sets up a variance process both for staff and elected officials as to how those expenses get approved. So our policy, we didn't really have one on travel other than, you know, make sure that your department head was aware of how you've researched it, you know, whether it's train, driving, or air, look for the lowest fare possible. So I actually borrowed from Wilmette policy on travel. It talks a little bit about, like, two-part approval for airfare, sets up some mileage guidelines for when you should be driving versus flying, and then also, like, you know, if something comes up that there's super cheap airfare, that you're allowed to basically bring that to your boss and then get approval. Meals was $40 a day. We're not changing that. It's prorated per meal. And then lodging was $150 per night, or the conference rate, which most of the conferences that I've been to have been above $150. IML is the same way, but the conference rate clause within our policy allows us to approve that administratively. So I thought that that was reasonable to keep as is. And then, so the other big change in the policy would be the variance process. So in the event that I were to go to a conference and let's say the minimum hotel in the immediate area is $300, but it's not related to the actual conference, it's just a hotel. So in that case, I would have to go in front of city council, give you my name, my title, when I'm going, my reason for going, the circumstances surrounding that variance, then you'd actually have to approve that in an open meeting. Okay. And then on the city council side, every conference that you go to, IML, will require that similar information to be approved at city council level. So it's not going to be a huge deal, in my opinion. We'll probably just wrap it up into the budget process.
Yeah, because I was going to say, don't we just put the IML in the budget so it's already approved?
Yeah, so... but
like, we have a line item for that, don't we?
We do, but the extent of our approval has been in the memo that we've went in the past and people have asked questions, and then there's documentation on that. So this would probably be like a separate resolution saying, like, we're authorizing all aldermen to go to IML, and here's how much it's going to cost on a per-night basis, and we're okay with that, and just get it on the record. That way, if somebody has questions about it, we can refer to an easy document. So, you know, it's an unfunded mandate the state passed down, but I understand it. Really, it's not much of a burden for us, so no, not a huge deal.
Okay.
Can I just... Oh, never mind. It looks like she was... The door... They locked the door, but it's open.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. I don't look. Any comments or questions? Okay, so consent agenda for Tuesday?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, 8, admin 2017-8, the ordinance amending the code regarding the appointment of municipal officers.
And I apologize, I didn't put a memo in for this one, but this basically retools our city code to remove references to elected city clerks and treasurers, and then replaces it with an appointed city clerk and city treasurer. So we don't have to do this for a couple more years, but Kathy wanted to get it done and out of the way. That way there's no question when the next election comes up that those positions are to be appointed.
So Beth stays where she is, and then when she's done, it turns into Lisa?
Correct.
And then she's got... 2 more years. She was elected with Gary.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just clarifying. Thanks.
Any other comments or questions?
Nope.
And that one can go to the February meeting if that's okay.
Whatever you want to put it. Consent agenda.
Okay.
Okay. 9. Admin 2017-9. The audit RFP results.
Well, in late November, we issued an audit RFP. As you may recall, our 5-year contract with Lauterbach and Amon was up. Had a pretty good showing. Had 8 firms bid, which was good to see. The low-cost provider, as shown on Exhibit A, was Mack & Associates. Came in $159,750 over the proposed 5-year term. Despite being the low-cost bidder, I guess, well, staff does have some reservations about engaging Mack. Particularly, they don't have a lot of experience auditing municipalities that are similar in size and scope to Yorkville. If you look at their client listing on page 9 and the reference list found on page 26 and 27, you see a lot of entities, smaller entities, that are around Yorkville, but they're not very similar, I would argue, in size and scope financially speaking, to what your fill is. But if you look at their municipal experience, I mean, they have a lot of smaller municipalities like Dwight, Lisbon, Newark, Seneca, Shavana, South Wilmington, but nothing that's really comparable to Yorkville. Also, too, they currently only have one client that participates in the GFOA CAF reward program. Now, contrast that with Lauterbach and Amon, who was the second lowest cost provider. They came in at $169,200. They are our current auditors. We worked with them the last 5 years, haven't had any issues with them, always been very accurate and timely, and said what they were going to do when they said they were going to do it. If you look at their experience in auditing municipalities, they have a vast experience in auditing municipalities that are at least as big, if not bigger, than Yorkville. According to their RFP, they're actually one of the top 10 firms in the nation that submit CAFRs to the GFOA CAFR Award Program. And they're a much larger firm with greater resources that we can draw on as a city if needed. I mean, one thing they do that I've always found very helpful is every year at no additional cost, they have an annual client meeting where they invite me and staff out, and we go over to GASB pronouncements. They give you PowerPoint slides. They give you a step-by-step kind of process on how to implement these various GASB pronouncements, which seems like every year we have to implement a new something or other for the GASB. But also, too, they also cover just a wide variety of other financing and accounting-related issues that I found, helpful in administering the finance department. So staff's recommendation would be that council engage Lauterbach and Amon to be the city's auditors for the next 5 years.
Do we have to take the... I thought we had to take the lowest...
take the lowest qualified bidder. Okay.
It would require a supermajority anyway, so, yeah.
Okay.
So you should at a normal majority threshold, but if you don't take the lowest qualified bidder, you should have supermajority.
All right, sounds good.
Any other comments or questions?
I'm always a fan of taking the next to lowest bid because that means you've actually read the bids. So, yeah, I trust Rob on this. Don't screw me. Okay.
Fair enough, Joel. Thank you.
Okay. So, we're all fine with that. We can move that one on.
Is February okay for that one, Rob?
I was told for January, but
okay.
Okay.
We can get it done for tomorrow. Tomorrow's
so
packet for
Tuesday's meeting.
Consent agenda, or did you say we need?
No,
we'll
need
a
super majority.
Right.
I heard that. Okay, regular agenda then. 10, admin 2017-10, the janitorial services RFP.
On October 3rd, we went out for RFP for a janitorial contract, RFP for a contract. We don't have a contract currently, but we do use ServiceMaster. For approximately 3 days a week for a few hours each day, and that cost is $1,523 per month. When we went out to RFP, you see that the bid results, we only had three bidders. However, they were qualified bidders, and we are proposing to go for Alpha Building Maintenance Service for their cost alone. I also included their minimum daily hours and their minimum annual hours and the pricing per hour on that as well. They are not proposing an increase. We are only looking at a two-year contract at this point.
Comments and questions on our janitorial service? Is that just for this building? Or
that's another thing that we increased as well. They're going to service all buildings in the city. So it'll be not only City Hall.
Beecher.
Library is not included. Beecher is not included, but it's Parks and Recs building, Public Works, and then City Hall and Police Department.
So are they going to be doing the same amount of work?
More work. Mm-hmm. That's why the price is more than doubled on an annual basis. Yeah. I think they were.
Is it possible to let me know when that dude's last day is so I can buy him a fruit basket?
Aw. Absolutely.
So we're okay with that one?
I guess.
You don't sound too convinced.
No, I'm totally fine. No.
Okay, so we can put that on consent agenda. Mm-hmm. So let's go to 11, admin 2017-11, the interior painting RFP.
Sure, we went out to bid on November 9th for the interior painting of City Hall and the Police Department. The entire upper portion of the building and the administration side, except for the conference room and the council chambers. Select areas in the police department on the first floor, excluding offices, but including the bays out in the garage. And then downstairs, the sergeant's office and the locker rooms. And the downstairs, all of community development as well were bidded out for the painting areas. We received 9 bids. Summary of the pricing results are attached, and we are recommending going with the lowest bidder, which is also Alpha, same one we are recommending for the janitorial services as well.
Wow. Yeah. What a difference in the prices.
Right.
$70,000?
Yeah, we did receive correspondence from the Painters Council Union that a couple of the firms, including the low bidder, that they didn't recommend because of past issues that they've had. And it wasn't so strong that it was, you know, they don't pay prevailing wage, which this job is, and all these bidders have committed to do. It's just,
yeah, we have to pay prevailing wage.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And they certify that they will. It's just that they've had issues with them in the past. So they sent us some materials on there. It wasn't anything, in my mind, that would dissuade me from selecting the lowest bidder, other than we know, you know, that you have to keep an eye on them and make sure that they're turning in the correct forms. And I think the issue for the low bidder was from 2008.
Correct.
So nothing recent. Yeah.
Do you have any other information on Allied, the second one? Is it just a local company?
It's Allied or Alpha?
Allied.
The next highest one? The
yeah, the next highest one.
Allied, I don't believe, is a local company.
It's not? Okay.
No.
And Alpha is a, I was
it's not a local either. Company either.
So Alpha is not the one that they've had problems with paying prevailing wage.
Allied as well.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason is because I thought I knew that company, and I thought it was just the owner. Okay. It's just the owner.
Alpha is the same company as our janitorial
correct.
Contract, actually, that we
so did they pay
reviewed.
Prevailing wage to their janitors?
No, because that's not required.
Oh, just on union
correct.
Jobs.
Correct. On, like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Maintenance
and capital projects.
Okay.
Allied is out of Elgin.
Okay.
Where's Alpha?
Alpha.
Batavia. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Homer Glen.
Even like between the third and the top. Why?
Well, both of the projects for flooring and for painting. We've made it relatively turnkey on our end, where we're not going to be taking items off the wall. They're expected to do that. They're expected to patch. So some of the people I know didn't walk through it, so it might have just been a grab number for them on the high side. And other people might be trying to maybe paint around different things or do whatever is quickest. So we'll see.
So if someone comes in here and decides, well, we're just going to put tape around this bulletin, this whiteboard, we're not going to take the stuff down. Is that going to be, that's not going to be a, you're not going to allow that, right?
I think we drafted it such that they shouldn't be taking everything off the wall and
absolutely.
Painting behind it. So
and patching first.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
But somebody may be like assuming that, you know, they walk through that maybe they don't have to do certain things. You never know. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, is that really a fair bid then?
The references that came back on the low bidder were favorable.
Okay.
So, you know, it's something that we'll monitor, and if it becomes
it's
a problem,
just because
we'll
it's such a huge difference.
Yep.
I mean,
I'd be more worried if there was only one company that had severely undercut everybody else, but there were two or three that were right there. So that gave me a little
well, bit. It goes from 18, then the next one is 23, which is like, you know, $5,000, but then the next one is like almost $10,000 more.
Right. And I believe either Muscat or Capital, the Painters Council didn't have an issue with. So it might be a union shop. Maybe they just pay higher wages.
Well, I don't know. That just is like, to me, it seems like they're going to cut corners. They're going to have to cut corners for this bit.
Yeah.
I disagree.
You do? Why?
Oh, yeah.
I don't
some
know.
People just do a good job at a certain price because that's the price they've always charged, and they're always going to do a good job. So next time we go back out to bid, send it to them to see what they charge.
Well, I guess we'll see.
But in my defense, whenever I charge $50,000 more for a for a contract, it's usually because I hire a DJ to supply proper entertainment while I do paint the walls. So, I mean, let's look at reality here, folks.
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I guess I won't be having to look at the paint job for the next 4 years either. I mean, I just can't. This is unbelievable. The difference.
You've already failed.
The difference in prices is just unbelievable, though. I mean, even just between the second highest and the third highest is like almost $10,000.
Agreed. A $70,000, $60,000 coupon is pretty awesome, though. So. Whoever used it, I appreciate it.
Okay, well, I guess. I'm going to
try.
I guess so.
But do we have any negative past experience with Alpa? Do we have anything to judge them on?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Have we ever used them?
No.
Let's give it a shot. And if it's horrible, well, we don't have to use them again.
Yes, we never, ever have.
No, we don't. You're right.
And if we do it, but if we do it again, if Ally does it after the fact, it's still cheaper than going with pretty much everybody else.
Yeah,
so
this is true.
I say we trust the universe. Let's be hippies. Join hands.
Well, I just don't I disagree with you that they're going to do a better job just because they're cheaper. I think they're going to cut corners for sure. I think they're not going to want to take whiteboards off our walls or patch and paint. And there's going to be pieces of, you know, there's going to be paint on the ceilings and I don't know.
But maybe it's their way of proving their worth and they're going to get the next gig for $5,000 more. Who knows? It's free market. It's why America's great.
Do we know how long Alpha's been in business?
I didn't double check that.
It was in their janitorial.
It was
contract.
It was in their background, but yeah. I don't have that.
So are they a janitorial business or are they a painting business?
The building maintenance services.
They're
everything.
They're the jack of all trades, master of none.
And then is it? Well, not that much, but, like, what's the quality of paint they're using?
It was specified, the Sherwin-Williams.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the paint color was specified.
So the 18,
as well.
And that includes the paint color, or the paint. Mm-hmm. The 18,000 includes the paint.
Sherwin-Williams? Mm-hmm.
The bid did.
Uh-oh.
Sherwin-Williams makes some pretty crappy paint. They also make some good stuff, but there could be the difference of, like, $20, $25 a gallon.
Yeah.
47 years of existence. Hmm.
Okay. Well, then 47 years is that's a pretty solid length of time to be in business.
Yeah,
I just sent Bart an email to check all of the corners so that we make sure none of them are cut. Well,
yes, thank you. Thank you for doing
that. No problems, John.
Well, I just never saw a bid that was just so out of whack. It's like so out of whack. It's unbelievable.
I just sent a reminder to send you every bid that's out of whack for the next month. I'm telling you, there's a lot of out of whack bids.
I'm sure there are. Okay.
So, we're okay giving them a try?
I guess so.
All right. Let's give them a try.
I don't, like I said, I don't have to look at the walls for the next 4 years.
The staff is going to have to look at more than us, so.
Yeah.
I'll send you text messages.
No, I don't want them. I'll block you.
Again?
How do you pay for it? Like, are we going to have to put a deposit up front? And then, so if it is a bad job, do we have recourse of holding back?
Sure, and the contract will probably set up some kind of a bid bond that will hold until the work is completed.
So, if we don't like it, we need to pay.
Hire somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay, let's put that on the agenda. Consent? We're good?
Yeah. That'll probably be February 14th.
We'll see.
One day turnaround is always like a little hectic. So,
give me a hard time there. Let's go on to 12, admin 2017-12. Now we go on to the interior flooring RFP.
Yeah, so this was put out on November 29th, and the bids were received on December 28th. We received 5 bids. This was also a large swing from $74,000 up to $191,000. Yeah. And the highest bid on the painting ended up being the lowest bid on the flooring. Yeah, you got it. We are recommending that you go with a low bid for tiles and styles in the amount of $74,276.59.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. They're going to cut corners.
This also includes the dollar
point
for the alternate.
From a different company on their
Well, we originally thought Skyrim so that they would do painting first, and we will logistically, but the RFPs kind of ended up on the same timeline.
Right.
So. That's a big difference.
That's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
So again, this one is relatively turnkey for us too, to move all the furniture themselves, work after hours basically, and so we'll see what happens. But this company had references with Metra, a lot of large entities that had recently done projects, so we felt good about that too.
I wonder if there was a mistake in their painting bed.
Could have been,
yeah.
But that's their problem.
Yeah, that's their problem. It just,
but if they come highly recommended, why don't we just use it for the paint?
No.
Oh, God.
No. Are we okay with for them for carpeting?
Yes.
Are you coordinating the color of the wall with the carpeting?
We picked out, we've not picked out color of carpeting yet, which will be exciting.
What color of walls have you picked out?
Variations of blues and grays, kind of what we have in the council chambers.
Yeah, it looks nice in there.
Yeah.
Haven't those carpet samples been in Bart's office for like 3.5 years?
The carpet samples?
Yeah.
More than that, probably. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Life is good at City Hall now.
It's needed.
Let it roll.
Let's see.
So who cares if they cut corners?
New carpeting in here. Let's see. How long have I been here?
Yeah.
It went bad pretty quick.
It did. We don't have anything budgeted really for major floor modifications, so we have noticed that there's some bumps and some soft spots, so when they actually pull up the padding and everything, there may be some recommendations for subflooring, so we'll see on that.
There's padding on this?
I think a little bit. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think so. I think it's just laying on straight plywood.
Yes. And then budget-wise, the painting we had covered in the budget, we had enough money. This we did not have budgeted, but with our budget projections, we don't expect that any of the line items or the department budgets would go over as a result of approving this. So it is something that we don't need a budget amendment for, but you should just be aware that, you know, it's something that we kind of hadn't talked about in the actual budget, and so, you know, it's kind of like a new project that we decided to do based on the fact that we were, well, based on the fact that it needed to be done, but also that we thought that we would have a little bit of money left over at the end of the year.
Okay.
Do it.
All right, we're all good with that one?
Yep.
All right, put that one on the consent agenda.
Hey, guys, I lost interest. I'm going to take off. I have some food to eat, so you guys have a great night. I'll see you next week.
We only got one more thing.
No, I'm not going to be involved with you guys. This is all on Seaver. I vote with Seaver.
Thanks.
Good night, guys.
Goodbye,
bye, Joel. Bye,
all right, 13, admin 2017-13, the health insurance broker RFP. Lots of RFPs.
Yeah, so there's a memo in your packet from Nicole there. This doesn't require city council approval, but, you know, we kind of thought that just because we're changing brokers and given the relationship that we have on the property insurance side, and I think it's the first time that we've actually gone through the RFP process in a number of years, we wanted to make sure that everybody is aware that we were recommending the change and then proceeding forward. So while we don't actually outlay any money to the broker, they do get paid as a result of the brokerage services. And so we wanted you to kind of endorse our decision there before we tell them to go out and give us some new plans. So it is Alliant Mesereau, which is Michael Leisha's firm. So we'd have the same broker company for both property insurance, workman's comp, then health insurance. We don't really see any big issues with plan designs. They're both very highly rated with Blue Cross Blue Shield. They both can do the HRA card. Our current broker, and then the one that we're recommending, which is what we have now for HRA cards. And then, you know, Alliant Mesereau is a little bit bigger firm. They've got a little bit more access to different staff. And really, I think they're a little bit highly rated with different health insurance carriers. So if we do decide to change at some point or another, which is something I think we've looked at every year for the past 7 or 8 years, in my mind, it'll make it a little bit of an easier transition. So we'll see what the numbers come back at, though. I have no idea, I guess, with healthcare reform and potentially being repealed, how that's going to impact us price-wise. So it could be a little bit of a wild ride this year. And,
I think so.
I'd rather have a larger firm handling it. So.
We're all okay with that one?
Yes.
Okay. Put that in.
So it's the same basic plan that we have, same money?
Well, we would tell the broker to go out and give us the same plan.
Oh, so we don't have the bid yet. Because it would be, basically, right. It's going to be the same price. Is like, not, it won't be the same price, but it,
It should be.
Comparable.
Yeah, and what we've heard from our current broker and then the new broker is that Blue Cross Blue Shield is going to, like, more of a technical review of health insurance pricing with Blue Cross Blue Shield. So, you know, they look at claim history, they look at demographics and health issues that are known, and then they kind of just input it into a computer program, and then that's the price. And there really isn't much of a back and forth. It's like you
that's
either take it.
It
or leave it.
Right.
Whereas in the past, the brokers have been able to kind of go back and negotiate with the carriers to try to get a lower price. So we'll see. So then it's more of just like a relationship on services that they can provide under the law, whether it's like help with like enrollment, benefit fairs, et cetera, and then just being able to have knowledge of other carriers in case we do change.
Are there any other carriers?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've looked at United and Humana and a couple other...
There's not very many.
A couple other carriers over the years, but we've never made the recommendation to switch just because we do like the health insurance that we've had, and the company's been good to us, even though it's fairly expensive. And that's just, you know, kind of a perk for the employees on top of normal compensation.
So we're not even going to get a bid from our old one?
We did. They submitted as part of the process.
Oh.
So we actually interviewed them. We really like our existing broker. Mm-hmm. He does a good job for us.
Did we get a bid from them yet?
We just didn't include their packet in the
package.
Are you
talking about a bid for health insurance?
Yeah.
No, that's... So basically, this is just an RFP for...
For the broker.
For them to go, yeah.
Right.
So we haven't gotten any help.
So are we going to still get a quote on insurance from both or just him, though?
Just one. You have one broker that would go to the carrier. All right. So, and that usually comes up at the March admin committee meeting. So
that's why we're doing this now, so they can get started on getting us bids for the
company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you think it won't matter that we're going to go with a different broker? It's going to be... I would think it would be basically the same. They're going to have the same information.
Yeah, we think so this year. So, we'll see, though.
Okay. They're all going to be working off the same information. On our
claim history, demographics, yes.
Okay. Known problems.
Yeah. The one thing that we liked with this firm is they might have different ideas for plan design. You know, Joe Liberty had brought us the high deductible PPO with the HRA, and then everybody else kind of jumped onto that, I think, region-wide. So they might have some
different
ideas.
Yeah, that was a really great... That guy really did help us a lot, so I kind of feel I feel like that guy really did kind of help us out there.
He did.
I mean, I trust Mike Alicia too, though. I mean, it's not like we don't know this person.
Sure.
So, okay.
We're good?
I guess. I'm not very excited about it, but I mean...
Yeah, it's a tough decision, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, we'll put that one on consent too. Any old business?
Well, can we just put that one on the regular, just in case anybody else has any other questions? Can we just put it on the regular agenda? Okay, just in case anybody has any other questions. Because, I don't know, I'm going to have to think about that for a little bit, just because I know that, I'll just think about it. I just don't want it on the consent agenda, so in case we change anything.
Just
take
it off.
Sure. Well, I'll just leave it on for now.
Sounds good. Okay, any old business? Any additional business? So let's adjourn this meeting at 6:39.
At least Joel was.